Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Fred Jackson, and Steve Paisley Jordahl is in studio now. Good morning, Steve.
Hello. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Ray Pritchard's in Kansas City, KS.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
So what's the weather like today where you are?
60 degrees and sunny, going up to 67. This is bike riding heaven.
Okay.
This is good.
Hit the trail this afternoon for how many miles?
Oh, about 15, you know.
Is that 45 minutes? What is that?
About an hour and 15 minutes.
Want a little challenge, Ray? It's 64 degrees here, going up to 72. You come on down.
Come on down. I like it. It's beautiful weather.
If you can ride your bike from Kansas City to Tupelo, I'm looking at three guys who will take you to dinner.
Absolutely.
You got a deal. Buy me a steak. I'm on my way.
Your problem is the Ozarks.
That's right. Boy, there's some big hills.
It's okay when you get to the Delta.
That's right. It's no problem. We can do that.
Up and down those Ozark mountains and hills, that's tough for a car.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
I'll be there in April, maybe.
Oh, me. Hey, listen, a couple things. Number one is we have set the dates for our 2024 Spiritual Heritage Tours. So if you're looking for something, a vacation with a purpose next year, we would love for you to join us. We've taken literally thousands and thousands of people over the years to our nation's capital and to Mount Vernon, and then we have a separate trip to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg, so much history there, and so meaningful to our country's beginnings. And, of course, Mount Vernon, and then our nation's capital. We'll see all the sites in our nation's capital. So we're doing those tours in June and September, as we always do. It's the best weather. Best weather time of the year to go, June and September. So if you want to see the dates, the itinerary, the cost, everything about those trips that we're going to go on with Stephen McDowell, the Providence Foundation, just go to this website, spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. And you can read all about the tours and the places we go, the things we do, the sites we see. And you won't find any other tour of our nation's capital or of Williamsburg with a historian, I don't think. Certainly one like Stephen McDowell, who tells you the Christian history and heritage of our nation as well. So spiritualheritagetours.com is the website. Steve's going to bring us the news of the hour about the House of Representatives and the Speaker's job. But before that, and Ray, you didn't know I was going to ask you this, but I do want to ask you this before we leave this topic. We were talking last half hour about world events, especially Israel, Bible prophecy. And I've talked about this before, but I think it bears repeating because it only points to the spiritual nature of what's happening with respect to Israel right now, and that is this. Iran is the one funding Hezbollah and Hamas. The one now threatening to cause a quote earthquake in Israel if Israel invades Gaza. And so you just think to yourself, what does Iran care about Israel? They're 1,000 miles away. There's no historical border conflict, obviously, between Iran and
they're not even Arab.
Israel, yeah, they're not Arabs. They have no, they don't even probably even speak the same language as Hezbollah or Hamas, for example. There's no natural resources that Israel has that Iran's trying to get to. It really just makes no sense in the natural. I've said it's like this. It's like us. Imagine our president saying today, you know what? We will death to Peru. You know, all Peruvians must die. They're little Satans. And us, and, you know, people in other world, wait, you're not even, what do you have to do with Peru? What do you care what happens in Peru? Anyway, talk about that for just a moment. Why does Iran care about Israel?
You know, we have already talked early in the program, Tim, about the people of Gaza versus Hamas and how Hamas is like a gang, an evil gang that has corrupted the whole Gaza region. But it doesn't mean that everybody in Gaza hates the Jewish people. Maybe a lot of them do, but not all of them do. Persia in the same, well, Iran, of course, is a modern name for the ancient kingdom of Persia, one of the oldest kingdoms on earth. A beautiful land, beautiful people. You know, that it was Cyrus, the leader of the Persian kingdom, that God called him Cyrus, my servant. He's the one who let the Jewish people go back home at the end of the 70 years. And so there's every reason for there to be friendship between Iran and Israel. And what has happened is these clerics over there, these radical...
The mullahs?
Yes. They have taken control of that beautiful land. And I say that beautiful land.
Right.
Wonderful people over there, but they have taken control. And with their hardline radical ideology, I'm thinking about how to say this, Fred, but they believe that by somehow attacking Israel and wiping it off the face of the earth, they will bring back that final Mahdi, that final Islamic ruler who will establish Islam as a world religion. Okay, that's what they think they are doing God's will by wiping out the Jewish people, and they're the ones who are in control over in Iran, which means, Tim, you've already alluded to Putin and China. That's scary enough by itself, but you throw Iran into that mix, that's extremely destabilizing for the Middle East. And I guarantee you, when President Biden is in Israel, a lot of time talking about not just Hezbollah and Hamas, but what's happening with Iran. It's a very, very dangerous situation.
All right, well, we can talk more about this later. Steve, the next news story.
Well, as we speak, the House of Representatives is convening. They are now taking a vote on whether they whether they have a quorum. And after that, they're going to the Republicans are going to nominate Jim Jordan as Speaker. The Democrats are going to nominate Hakeem Jeffries. And we are going to have somewhat of a repeat of what we saw at the beginning of the year when they elected Kevin McCarthy. Now, will it take 10 votes? I don't know. The math is a little uncertain. I don't know that they would call this if they didn't think that there is a good chance that Jim Jordan would.
Well, it didn't take 10 votes in the full House, right?
Yeah.
No.
To get McCarthy.
To get McCarthy.
Yeah. Okay.
Back in the.
Okay, I'm gonna ask this again, and I will yield to y'all's proper recollection. If I remember correctly, it was within the Republicans only that it took 10 votes or whatever it was to get Kevin McCarthy. And then they put his name up before the full House of Representatives. But y'all are saying, no, that was 10 votes before the full House?
Oh, yeah. I remember the debates going on the floor.
But how do you have 10 votes if it's one or the other?
Well, because you can vote for anybody you want. You have to have 50% plus one.
All right, whatever y'all say. And that's what I say to my wife.
Some people were nominating.
it doesn't work, but that's what I say.
Right.
And immediately when I say that, I realize I shouldn't have said that. It's a bad attitude. But when I think I'm right, you know, I gotta say something.
Yeah, it doesn't work out.
So Ray, we're gonna find out how this. If I'm right or wrong, and I can certainly be wrong. Three times this year I've been wrong already. What do you say, Ray? Whose side are you on this?
I'm with Steve and Fred, okay. I think. All right. I probably should be with you, but I think they're right.
All right, I'm going to put Brent Creeley, our producer, on this question, and you find out the answer, or do you know it already?
Before the whole House, it was 15 votes, I think.
All right. That's the fourth time this year. Then I apologize for my attitude.
I just remember the drama on live TV on the floor of the House.
But do you understand what I'm saying? That if you have somebody has to be the House of Representatives Speaker.
Yes.
And you have one or the other, somebody wins in one vote.
Because you can nominate Jim Jordan and you can nominate Hakeem Jeffries and you can still go up and vote for Donald Trump to be Speaker of the House.
All right. Well, my bad. somewhat apologize. Let's move on. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, so anyway, I got a couple. I talked to a friend of mine who is a representative from Indiana. His name is Jim Banks. He's a congressman from Indiana, and he talked to me about this was yesterday. He talked about the process, what they've been through, and what he hopes for. Listen to cut nine.
I thought it was a big mistake to vacate the speaker, but it happened. So Jim Jordan will be the strongest speaker of the House that I've ever served with. He's got backbone. He doesn't back down to the radical left. He doesn't back down from the fight. That's exactly what we need in the next Speaker of the House, and that's why I'm proud to support him.
Jim is part of the Republican Study Caucus, and Jim Banks, and Jim Jordan is part of the Freedom Caucus. So they're not even the same caucus of Republicans. They agree on most of the things. And by the way, it just occurred to me, these were the two men that Nancy Pelosi would not let on the 9/11 Commission. Both of these guys, whatever reason, that just occurred to me. So,
will the vote be over before we get through here?
No, they're still. There's got another 5 minutes for the quorum, and then they're going to have nominating speeches, and it will not be done by the time we're done here. Unless you want to tell Alistair Begg that he has to stand by.
All right, go ahead. Next topic.
I want to go back to what's going on in Israel, if I could. First thing I want to do is I want to talk about what's happening. You know, Israel gave 24 hours, it's more than that now, and told civilians, get out, evacuate. We're going to be bombing where you're at, and you stand a chance of not surviving, so go. A warning that Hamas certainly did not give to Israel. And so a lot of people are saying, well, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? They're only targeting, they say, the northern part of Gaza. So they could all funnel down into the south, but it's still crowded down there. People ask, why not Egypt? You know, they can just keep going south. Well, King Abdullah of Jordan was in Germany. And this is what he said. He said, neither Jordan nor Egypt would accept Palestinian refugees from Gaza, where more than 1 million people have been displaced by the war. Quote, no refugees in Jordan, no refugees in Egypt. This is a red line because I think that the plan by certain of the usual suspects is to try and create de facto issues on the ground.
I'm not sure what that means, it doesn't surprise me that Jordan and Egypt will not take refugees, because in reality, their ideology says, no, that land of Israel belongs to the Palestinian people. And so if we take the refugees, that diminishes their presence there in the land. That's my take on that.
You're probably right. My take on what it says is de facto issues on the ground is they are afraid that among the refugees, this is my thought, among the refugees are going to be a certain amount of people who are going to cause trouble, terrorists, who are going to be either Israel.
No, that is correct.
And that they're going to cause havoc. They don't want them to cross the border. Our border is being crossed thousands of times a day by people we don't know who. Just saying.
Yeah, listen, Egypt doesn't want the Palestinians coming into their country in mass, but they're about to have it anyway, quite frankly. The Saudis, they don't have any interest in this. Now, you would have to go down. I mean, Saudi.
Syria.
Yeah, then you got the Jordan. Jordan obviously is a border country with Israel. And a lot of Palestinians from years gone by, the wars, refugees, live in Jordan already. But they don't want to, they don't know what they first of all, you have a humanitarian crisis of mass proportions on your hand. Secondly, you would have Jordan's been at peace with Israel. They don't want to bring in troublemakers who are going to cause that peace to go away. And Egypt's the same way, quite frankly. They know there's some bad players with Hamas, and they don't want any part of that, and they don't want it coming into their country. Remember, Egypt had a problem with the Muslim Brotherhood a few years ago. Well, they're like the Hamas. I mean, they're for imposing Sharia law. They're Al-Qaeda type people. They're ISIS type people. So they don't want that in their countries, even though they're predominantly Muslim themselves. But they don't want war. They don't want to have fighting inside their own terrorist activities inside their own countries. So no, they're going to resist. Now, however, it does show the hypocrisy of these countries when, to me, and the rest of the world, quite frankly, when they want to condemn Israel, and yet they don't want to help settle these people anywhere else. You take them, you take them, you deal with the terrorists, but we don't want them in our country, but we're going to condemn you for wiping them out. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So it's a real dilemma. Now, listen, this is about to get really, really ugly. Because Israel is bombing Gaza. It's already a small place. I don't know how many miles. How many miles? Do you know how long it is, Ray?
What, 25, 30 miles?
25 or 30 miles. A strip.
Yeah.
Which used to belong to Egypt.
Right.
Used to belong to Egypt, the Gaza did. Okay, so imagine 25, 30 miles. Get out in your car here. In 20 minutes, you've driven that far. Uh-huh. Right? So imagine 2 million people congested into this area. And now Israel is bombing and telling people to move south. Well, it's not that easy. Now, again, I am not saying Israel's doing anything wrong because it's war. War is hell. And they've got to win this fight to Hamas. So they've got to have their own objectives. And quite frankly, they can't do a lot of considerations for anything else. And this isn't a perfect world. But I'm just telling you the practical reality is you've got a couple million people packed into a small area of land, and Israel's bombing is pushing them all into one. It's a bottleneck, and the neck isn't open. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have – that's why I'm saying it's about to get really ugly. There's going to be a lot of pressure on Israel to relent. Because a lot of innocent people, I say innocent people, I'm saying these Palestinians, they're going to die. They're going to die with these bombardments. And if Israel goes in there with their tanks and troops, you're going to have guerrilla warfare. I mean, it's just about to get really ugly in Gaza. And the only only escape would be into Egypt. And if Egypt shuts these people off, I'm talking about as refugees, I don't know what they're going to do. Because how does Egypt stop them from coming into their country? Are they going to shoot them? Is Egypt going to start shooting the Palestinian people who are trying to flee war in Gaza? Is that going to happen? You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just describing, I think, the reality of the situation. It's about to get really hard to watch.
And if I could remind people why they are going in with such vengeance. Sky News has been talking to people. They talked to a gentleman who his job is their group goes and recovers bodies in war zones. And he is saying that it is becoming clear that the tactics and level of brutality of the Palestinians is something that they have not
seen. Of Hamas.
I'm sorry. They were always much more like a militia at war with Israel is what they were. He said, not bloodthirsty killers and torturers, but something has changed. And this article, I can't talk about what they did, what this article says, the torture that these civilians, when they had the time, they they would torture and kill men, women, and children for hours before.
Oh, the butchery of that day will forever be remembered, second only to the Holocaust for number of deaths by Jews and 1,400 people slaughtered.
But the torture.
Well, I know these people are sadistic. They're controlled by Satan himself, and I don't say that casually.
No, I agree.
The only way I see out of this is at some point the Hamas terrorists in Gaza back down. The leadership, Israel takes them out. The followers, they back down, and Israel perhaps can withdraw. That is the only way that I see. Otherwise, and I'm not saying that's imminent. I'm afraid not. But that is the only way the rest of the Hamas followers would back away if Israel kills all of the Hamas leadership.
Well, and part of the problem there, Fred, is they're not all in Gaza.
No.
Some of the senior Hamas leadership is in Iran. Some of it is in Europe, in countries in Europe. They are spread out around the world. Mm-hmm. We got to assume, we don't know, but we got to assume that Israeli special forces are moving in on some of them. So you've got to, this is a very difficult, besides the humanitarian crisis that is unfolding and about to unfold, Tim, you said it, I mean, you said it eloquently, I think, that to disarm Hamas, the battle is going to be mainly in Gaza, but it's going to be in places like Iran. Some of them are in Egypt. Some of them are, they're just scattered. It's going to be tough to wipe out Hamas, but I think Mr. Netanyahu has the nation behind him that this time they're going to stay with it till they get the job done.
You know, the tragedy is, one of the tragedies here is that vast swaths of people, millions of people in Gaza, millions of people in Iran, are controlled by a tiny number of people. And this tiny number of people, I'm talking about the mullahs, the Islamic religious leaders in Iran, which they're dictators. They impose Sharia law, and they're dangerous, very dangerous. You can't reason with these people, really, because they think they're on a mission from Allah. So that same way in Gaza, you know, you got a tiny percentage of people that committed these acts. I'm talking about of the people in Gaza, and they kept it a secret. So, but yet here a lot of people having to pay the price for the actions of a few. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying the people in Gaza don't have sympathetic feelings for the things Hamas says or does. Although I read where they only got like 45% of the vote when they voted on. Did you see that? Have you seen that number? I'm talking about among the Palestinians.
Yes.
Who live in Gaza. So, anyway, pray for, earnestly pray for that whole situation, because as Ed says, that's a tinderbox.
It is.
That's a tinderbox right now. The Middle East is. All right. Thanks for listening to American Family Radio on this show, Today's Issues. Thank you, Fred.
You bet.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
And thank you, Ray.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tim.
All right, everybody. Keep listening to AFR. We hope you have a great rest of your day. And we will see you back here tomorrow.